Thank you very much to the organizers for this opportunity to listen, to interact, and to learn from actual and future colleagues. I like the session title, Innovation Policy as an Inclusive Strategy. The state as the shield of the weak. The reasons behind this expression are the building of a social security system in Uruguay in 1910 that include also the separation of the powerful Catholic Church from the state, and following that, the consideration of all children equal before the law, regardless if they were conceived within or outside formal marriage, and the possibility for women to divorce for their only will. And this is what is named afterwards the state as the shield of the weak. But this was more than 100 years ago. What are the challenges today? Many, for sure, but two are important, particularly important today. And of course, they are the intertwined issue of environmental sustainability, unsustainability, and growing inequality. And they are intertwined because the poorest are the ones that suffer more the effect of the growing situation of unsustainability. But what does this, how is this related to knowledge and to innovation? These are facts, we know that. Charles Tilly, a great American sociologist, wrote the following. Hey, I don't know what happened. Oh, I am sorry, my fault. A knowledge-based inequality prevails in contemporary world. And 10 years after, Bryankhorst and McPhee in the second machine age state that the primary driver of growing inequality is exponential, digital, and combinatorial change in the technology that undergirds our economic system. So, yes, inequality is related to knowledge, is related to innovation in complex way, but this is the issue. And then we can ask ourselves, who is going to take care of those left behind? Because the intertwined nature between knowledge, innovation, and inequality. And how will this be done? Technology as usual and redistributive policies, or change in the directionality of innovation? Well, I would like the second one, but in any case, this calls one more for a state conceived as the shield of the weak. And what I would like to discuss is what this means today in terms of innovation. Because before going on, we need to reflect a little bit on development as such. Because the conceptualization of development guides to a great extent the role assumed by the state. And this conceptualization should be revisited. Yesterday, Johann Schott said that we are all developing countries. And he is right, because if being developed means that the problem of environmental and sustainability and growing inequality are solved, developed countries simply do not exist. And then, development is catching up with highly industrialized countries, becomes meaningless in normative terms, and of course, it is unfeasible. Imagine all developing countries aiming at arriving to the place developed countries have already arrived following the strategies. For instance, China is following now. It's clear that environmental doom is almost here for all of us. So, perhaps sustainable human development and the sustainable development goals, North and South, are a better strategy than catching up. Catching up has been with us, developing countries, for so long, and with such damaging effects. And let me underscore something. Goal 10 of the Sustainable Development Goals is redressing inequality. The Millennium Development Goals didn't consider inequality. They only considered poverty. Inequality now is a problem, north and south. And this is why we need to think again on innovation very, very seriously. But what is inequality? Is income inequality? There is a work of Amartya Sen that is not very much known. It was written in 2000, and the name of the paper is On the Concept of Social Exclusion. And then, in this paper, Amartya Sen says, we need to look into impoverished lives and not only in depleted wallets. Impoverished life, this is the issue. Of course, repleted wallets are good, but clearly they are not enough. So, innovation, inclusive strategy, diverse approaches. Rejection. This is a first approach of modernity, of development, of current technology. There are quite a lot of people that are in this position. We may disagree with it, and with some of the most extreme representatives of decolonial thinking and other radical critics of current technology, old and new. But we have to acknowledge that they raise a fundamental issue, and it is the rejection of TINA. There is no alternative, the Margaret Thatcher dictum. Shoshana Zuboff just published a book, January 2019. It's called Surveillance Capitalism. And she said the following: every doctrine of inevitability carries a weaponized virus of moral nihilism programmed to target human agency and delete resistance and creativity from the text of human possibility. So, rejection, of course, is a dead end, but at least it has a warning that inevitability is not acceptable. We need to fight this idea that technology is like it is. It comes. Digitalization, come. Internet of Things, come, like a tsunami, like a earthquake. It is made by people. It is made by us. And this is something that we need to keep in mind. Trickle-down effect of economic growth, well, don't worry, just make innovation go into economic growth, and then everything is going trickle down by. But this is clearly not the case, and we now have smart growth and unequal growth. So this is no more a possible strategy. We have the de-transition approach leading to changes in technological regimes, the multi-level perspective, and the niche. I want to simply make two comments on that. The first is the following. If we have technological regimes change, this is going to be something that is going to happen in highly industrialized countries in an endogenous way. And if they have the possibility of succeeding, we are going to receive in peripheral countries this as an exogenous impact. So for us, the idea of the change of technological regimes is not so evident. But I think that the idea of niches is very, very useful. The idea of protected spaces where it can happen, experimentation, protected from the market that could simply kill them in this early stage. I think that this idea is a very powerful one. Niche, instances, in the micro level. Keep that in mind. And then comes the idea of inclusiveness. You remember the book by Richard Nelson, 1970, The Moon and the Ghetto, Nelson asked himself, how could it be that we reach the moon and we cannot get rid of the ghettos? And this is a question that comes and comes again and again, because everything is wonderful in terms of technological improvement, but the fundamental issue of the ghettos in a different kind of expressions continue to be there. We have a deep differentiation between how we grow up and in some places of the world, I would say the majority of the population of the world continue to be there. So we need to think very deeply on that. And then we have a problem, two problems. One problem is the innovation agenda issue. That means what problems are addressed. Perhaps you remember a very famous expression of the World Health Organization, the 90-10 gap. 90% of the investment in research for health goes to the illnesses of the 10% of the population and the other way around. So this gives rise to the problem of neglected diseases. So we have a real problem of innovation agenda. What problems are addressed? And we have another problem that is seldom recognized, and it's a problem of innovation heuristics. This is a little bit engineering analysis, but let me just tell you something. Innovating in abundance conditions is not innovating in scarcity conditions. They are totally different heuristics. And this has been recognized. In 1989, the MIT make a report, America by Design, Regaining the Competitive Edge, the Toes, Solos, all these kinds, and they say the following. Given that most of R&D expenditures in the United States go to the Army, and given that the Army doesn't care about money, there are very few spillovers from defense into civil industry. Well, this idea that the Army and the civil industry are not going too well together because the defense is innovating in abundance conditions is exactly the same what happened with the developed, highly industrialized, developed technology and how this fit the needs of peripheral countries. And then we need to think of innovation also in terms of the capacity to innovate in scarcity conditions, and that leads to this concept of frugal innovation. And given that those who need inclusiveness in innovation are weak actors, we need the state as a shield of the weak back in. What that means in innovation terms? At macro level, we need new targets for innovative policy, sustainability, and social inclusion. Science and technology innovation policies share aims and goals with environmental and social policies, with particular attention to the latter. And this is important because sustainability is clear that needs technological innovation. But inequality is not clear that needs technological innovation. And my point is, yes, inequality needs a new type of technological innovation, not only social innovation, technological innovation. And why not? Why should innovation policy be judged only by economic indicators? Why not look into innovation policy in the eye and ask them to address impoverished lives? Why not? You have the micro level, new agenda for innovation policy, problems detected by environmental and social policies. Environmental and social policies define their problems in terms of SDI challenges, so a dialogue between the two is possible. And then you have the micro articulation, and you can see it there. Some comments on the former. Let's imagine that the new agenda for the emergence and diffusion of innovation is set by a state committed to sustainability and rising equality through innovation. How would such agenda look? It would not only consist of technological fixes. This was something that it would talk a lot, not only after the fact, before the fact. It should reject the current engineering economic common sense. If something is good, more is better. It would require a strong coordination role on the part of the state. And this is also, of course, this is a problem. It was said several times, anything that needs a lot of coordination, it's difficult. Yes, it is difficult. Yes, underdevelopment is difficult. Impoverished life is difficult. Yes, it is difficult. It has to be addressed. It would need to combine top-down policies with systematic forms of social consultation, empowering social actors to take part in the orientation of innovation. And that's very important. It needs to be a situated agenda. One size does not fit all in geographical terms and in heuristic terms. Who would be the champions and which are the foes of an endeavor like this? People acting in sponsored and protected spaces, niches, interstices, where democratic experimentation involving interaction between all types of stakeholders can explore solidarity-based expression of SDI. And we have ideological foes. You can see them there. You can recognize them. And we have a problem in the peripheries, of course, that we have self-defeating technological imaginaries. We think that everything that is done elsewhere is better than the thing that we can do by ourselves. And this is profoundly wrong, but nevertheless, it is. Let me just tell you that this is not a mirage. This can happen. We can have a new agenda, and we can have a new heuristic. We can convey solidarity from technological people. We can do that at universities. This can be done. This should be done. Summing up, innovation policies as inclusive strategies need a strong champion to navigate through the Sargasso Sea of current ways of steering innovation with their pronounced lack of pluralism. They are really one way without looking into the diversity that needs differentiated solutions. Only if the state in this SDI era allows itself to become, among other roles, the shield of the weak in science, technology, and innovation terms, will innovation policies conceived as part of an inclusive strategy have a chance. Today, this afternoon, we discuss a little bit with strongness. Can we ask innovation policy to be social policies? Yes. Can we ask social policies to think themselves as innovation policies in the sense of their problems be put to innovation policies to be solved? Yes. It can be done. You can say wishful thinking, perhaps. But being in Germany, it is fair to conclude by quoting Max Weber. Man would not have attained the possible unless, time and again, he had reached for the impossible. Thank you.